I'm thankful that in the midst of everything that's going on sometimes, the Lord will show up and let us know that he still has everything under control. Peace in the midst of the storm is the name of the song. And y'all just pray for me because I'm really nervous to try to sing this morning. But I really feel like it's what the Lord wants me to do. Even though the winds aren't still and the waves continue tossing me, from the storm I call his name for relief from things distressing me. Now so quietly it comes, strength to find my course again, though he does so much for me. His sweetest gift will always be peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm. I cry to him for mercy. His great love takes the form of peace in the midst of the storm. What tomorrow holds, it holds joy and sadness coming day by day. But I will not be afraid, though I know some storms will come my way. Let my enemy be sure, I will not be lost at sea. There will never come a time that with prayer I cannot find. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm. I cry to him for mercy. His great love takes the form of peace in the midst of the storm. Such peace in the midst of the storm.
Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter number 12, if you would please. Let me just say a word about this past week. Things are happening, and Wednesday night we told about Brother Randy and what God's saving him. And I say praise God. If you missed Wednesday night, then you missed a humdinger. And we had a good time, and I praise God for it. And then at school, I understand Mountain View, they started up there, and it something going on all week, and I praise God for that and rejoice in it. And I'm glad not only there, but other places, other homes, other lives, other things that we hear of that God's doing. And I praise God for it. You say, preacher, why did God do that now? I know God answered prayer. I know God just did what he did. I praise him for it. You can't explain God. You just, I just want to be ready and submissive and obedient to the Holy Spirit of God as he moves in the services and in our lives day by day. If we miss him having his way, it won't be any good anyway. Nothing will happen. That'll be lasting. But if God's in it and the Holy Spirit's moving, then I want to be sensitive to that and let God do what he wants to do. And God chose fit to do that. And I'm going to shout on it, praise God. Amen. I'm looking for something to happen today. But if nothing happened today, I'm still glad it happened last week. Amen. And I'll be glad what's going to happen days to come, because God always shows up right on time. I believe God does have something for us every time we come to the house of God. I believe God's got something for us today in a special way. I really do. I'm looking forward to this day. Somehow I have anticipated it. I have been anxiously awaiting for Sunday to get here and looking for this time that we might look in the Word of God together and try to share a few things with you that God has given me and given my heart. I pray be a blessing and help to you. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Stand up, please. I was excited Wednesday night. I didn't ask people to stand, and I don't know how many people come to me after church said, you didn't ask people to stand and read the scripture. I guess the first time I missed that in a long time. I always like to do that, to honor the Word of God. And it's just a precious word, and we want to honor it. But I was excited about what I was going to try to preach Wednesday night. I just wanted to get into it. And well, anyway, it's another service, another time, and we're standing, amen. And we're looking in the Word of God, Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. Now, this is Pharaoh, and God dealing with the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. God said, let them go, and he wouldn't. And he said by night, and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Pharaoh got excited about it. He wanted to get gone. Said, where are you going? Bless me too. And he saw the hand of God working, God doing something, got him shook up. And we know his heart was hardened. God hardened his heart, but the Bible says he also hardened his own heart and rejected God and got in a mess. But Pharaoh is now and the king of Egypt, and he's trying to get the Israel out of there because he'd been promising to let them go, but then wouldn't change his mind. And so it's time to go now. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Then we'll try to bring you the message. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. And I pray you'd help us, and God, touch our hearts, illuminate our minds, help us to think. Help us be able to say what we need to say. Say it like we ought to say it. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God would take that word and open every mind and every heart to receive it. In this house today, there are those here, God, that have special needs, families that have needs, these individuals that have spiritual needs, these folk here have physical needs. And Father, you know every need there is. And I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory that you will have your way. Help us, Lord, forget about everybody else, everything else, and just get centered in on the Word of God and the message you have for us today. Thank you, Lord, for all the singing, and what a blessing. And I praise your name, but now time for preaching. And I pray the Holy Ghost, God, would use us and move on the service and magnify yourself, rebuke the devil. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I plead that victory in him. And Lord, this day, I pray, God, for the salvation of souls. I pray for those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And some here struggling, some fighting. I pray this be the day, the hour, in which they just let you do what you want to do. And we'll praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to talk about departing from bondage. Departing from bondage. In the text, I've told you that Pharaoh here had been gone, Moses gone to him. God sent him down there, and God said, tell him, let my people go. And Pharaoh's the type of the devil. And so the devil never wants to let you go. You know that? The devil gets you. He wants to keep you. And he does get you if you're not saved. And so he wants to keep him in bondage and keep you in bondage. But Pharaoh offered some compromises. Isn't that just like a devil? He'll come by and offer you a compromise, sure. As God begins to deal with you, he'll offer you a compromise. At first, here's what he said. He said, ye that are men, you go serve the Lord, but don't go too far away. First said, do it in the land. And God said, that won't work in the land. You got to get out of the land. Then he said, don't go too far away. Take him in, but don't go too far away. And then he made another compromise, and he said, I tell you what, you go, but don't take your family. Leave your family down here. And then he said, I said about the family being staying in Egypt. He said, you go ahead and go, take your family, but don't take anything you got. Leave your cattle down here. Now, what he's working at is making sure they get back down in bondage. He's making sure that they don't get out and get away. But then here he reaches a point. After the Passover, he reaches this point, and he said, now, I want you to get out. I want you to take your children. I want you to take your family. I want you to take everything you got. And Moses already told him, said, we're not going to leave one hoof down here. We're taking everything out of here. And he's getting ready to go and get out. And so I want to give you about three things about getting out of bondage. And folk that got saved, I'm glad. Thank God. It is getting out of bondage, by the way. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If he makes you free. Now, if he doesn't make you free, you won't be free indeed. You'll be right back in bondage. But I'm glad when God sets you free, he makes you free indeed. I see three things in this that I want to relate to being saved. And I pray that God will make it real to you and help you and help me alike as we look at this today. Number one, we need to depart in a hurry. Get away from Egypt in a hurry. Look with me in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 11. Notice what he said here. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. Talking about the Passover in that night. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now God knew what was going to happen after the Passover. Pharaoh was going to make a cry and let him go. Now the Passover, he took that blood, put it on doorpost and lintel. And you've heard me preach it many times, but I love to say it again and again. I am glad for the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and that on the inside, it's safe and secure. On the outside, death comes. Outside that blood, there's death. But I'm glad for the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. I'm glad when I got saved, thank God the blood put there. Hey, doorpost and lintel, and give you a picture of the cross, and the blood's there, and we're on the inside. I say praise God and thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're safe and secure in that blood. You say, preacher, you preach a lot about the blood. I love to preach about the blood because there's still power in the blood. In fact, is that what saves power of the blood? I'm glad for the blood, but he said, now get your staff in your hand. I want you to eat this lamb on the inside there under that blood because you're getting ready to get out. And I want you to leave out of bondage. Now, God knew that even the Israelites would look around and think about some good things. And did you know that there's pleasure in sin for a season? And these things down there appeal to your flesh. And later, if you read, and as they got out there in the wilderness, Israel at one time said, I'd like to get back down there in Egypt and get some onions and leeks. They's living over there in the land of Canaan. I mean, in the wilderness, being fed manna and getting fed and water out of the rock. I mean, they've been taken care of, but they thought about Egypt. God said, now make it haste and get out. Let me say to everybody about being saved. When you get saved, make haste. Get in a hurry. Get out of the world. Get out of the things that have bothered you and been a detriment to your life. And have you know it's been wrong, get in a hurry about it. And don't think, well, I'll take my time about this and I'll be slow about it. No. And see, God also knew that Egypt, those Egyptians down there, they realized that their labor is about to be gone. And the ones they had in bondage doing all the work is about to leave them, and they're going to change their mind, want to stay down there. And you can rest assured the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you in bondage. I know God set you free. God saved you by his grace. But I know, too, the flesh is weak. I know, too, the flesh can't depend on the flesh. It'll mess up. And it'll get you in trouble. But thank God, if you get in a hurry and get out, I'm just saying hurry up and get away from the world. Don't let the world get a hold. And the Bible says flee. And I want to give you three things he talks about fleeing from. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Where he's talking about flee. If you're fleeing, you're in a hurry. By the way, while you're turning there, you remember Joseph over there when he'd been tempted by Potiphar's wife? Bible said he fled. He got in a hurry. He got away, left his coat, but he got away. He ran. He got in a hurry. Now look at verse number 18 of chapter 6 in the book of 1 Corinthians. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He said, now flee fornication. That is that sexual sin. He said, flee it. Get away from it and make haste about it just as quickly as you can. Get away from that. And God said to do it. But we're living in a generation today that needs that preaching. Amen. Flee fornication. Flee. Get away from him with temptation. Anything like it, just get away from it. Now, just turn on over in chapter 10 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And look at verse number 14. I may park just a minute, but anyway, it'll be all right. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Let me give you one more, then I'm going to come back to that one. In chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy and verse number 22, he says, flee also you for lust. Flee also you for lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, now flee that sin, flee that lust, flee that fornication, flee idolatry, and said, get it out of that crowd. And that's what he's saying there in that verse. He's saying, get that crowd to follow righteousness, faith, and love, and call on the Lord out of a pure conscience. Say, give the right crowd, amen? Get away from the wrong crowd, get with the right crowd. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be friends and be able to witness to unsaved. That don't mean that. You're going to stub your nose up and have nothing to do with them. You can't win people like that, but you can't have the same fellowship you once had. Amen. Sometimes people worry about losing friends. If you really get saved, live for God, you don't have to worry about losing friends. They'll leave you. Amen. You have to worry about getting rid of them. They don't want to be around you because they see you living for God, getting excited. And amen. Praise God. And I'm thinking about this idolatry thing. And there's all kinds of idolatry in our world today. And people's got idolatry in their lives. And the Bible says flee that. Amen. You know what an idol is? Idol's something that's not a real God, but it's something you worship. And something that takes first place in your life. And we don't have any trees we can go bow down to. And we don't have any idols of Virgin Mary sitting around anywhere we bow down to, or St. Peter or anything like that. But if we're not careful, we'll get some idols in our lives and things that's so important to us. I remember what Brother Billy Mitchell said here one time. He said you could throw a ball in hell and said there'd be about 10 Baptists running in after it. Amen, by the truth. Amen, it may not be a ball, it may be something else, and there ain't nothing wrong with a ball in the right place. But when ball becomes more important than God does, it's wrong, amen. When hunting becomes more important than God is, it's wrong, or golf or anything else. Things can be all right in their place, but when it becomes more important than what God is, it's wrong, amen. God is first place. Y'all still with me? Amen, we've been having a good time. Let's don't stop having it now just because I'm preaching against sin. You see, we love to see people get saved, but we're not too excited about living for God. And I'm trying to help you this morning. I don't get excited about living for God. Amen, take this thing one step further and get it deep down in our hearts to live for God. You say, preacher, I get saved, but I have to quit this and quit that. Hey, listen, you don't have to worry about what you have to quit. If you just get saved, it won't have the same appeal to you that it had before you got saved, and you can leave it anyhow, amen. And the flesh will be weak, and you'll have to watch your flesh, but hastily get away from those things that you know are temptations and things you know that's going to be a detriment to you. Get in a hurry and get away from it. You remember Lot's wife in Luke 17, verse 32, I believe it is. And Lot's wife, she got out of Sodom, but she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. There's one little boy one time and talking to his mother and said, "That's nothing." She's telling him about that story. "That's nothing." And or the teacher at Sunday school was talking about it. And he said, "That's nothing. My mother turned back and turned into a light pole." Amen. That's not the kind of turning into he's talking about. He's not talking about turning into a light pole or turning into hitting something with a car. He's talking about the fact she literally became a pill of salt. Literally became a pill of salt. Have you ever thought about that? Here's Lot and his two daughters and his wife walking along. And his wife looks back. All of a sudden, Lot glances over, and there's a pill of salt but no wife. That kind of shaked me up. I don't know what about you. But he knew what had happened because God said, "Don't look back, but get out and leave it alone." But you know what made her look back? She was getting out of Sodom, but she still had her heart back there. Hey, still things back there she loved, and still things back there that appealed to her. And so as she got out, she looked back. And God said, "Don't look back." And he said, that's what I'm saying to you here in this chapter today, coming out of Egypt bondage, is get out, don't look back, and hurry up about getting away from those things that tempt you and bother you. Get in a hurry about it. And don't wait around and think, "Well, I'll deal with that later and I'll deal with this thing later." No, deal with it now. And just get in a hurry about it and let God help you. Let me give you the second thing quickly today as we think about this. Depart completely. In our text, look what it said. It said, and I'll just read it again. It said, "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up, get you out from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel." Said, "Now get all of them, get everybody out, and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, make a complete break. He said, "Now you coming out of Egypt, I want you to take all your family, I want you to take everything you got, and I want you to get out." I say, hallelujah. I'm glad when the blood of Jesus Christ gets around and the power of God and that breeze from another world comes through. And by the way, the other night it got so good around here, I saw some folks are standing up shouting, praising God. I said, hallelujah and glory to God and the Lamb. Amen. I'm glad when God gets around, it can get good like that. Amen. And when God gets around like that, the devil says, "I can't stand it. I can't take the blood. You just go on, get out of here." I'm glad he can't handle that. I'm glad he don't know how to handle that. He don't know how to hold on to you like that. He wants you to get out because God's doing something then. And God has more power than the devil has. So the devil has to listen to what God says. And the devil, and here Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And he's saying, "I want you out and take your family." Oh, I'm so glad the family can get out. You remember that Philippian jailer when he got saved? Paul and them that was in prison, he took them inside his house and said his whole house got saved. And they got baptized the same night. I say hallelujah. Amen. Whole house. You remember when Cornelius sent for Peter up there and they came and got the apostle Peter and got down there. Cornelius got his whole house together and said, "Now, I want all of you to listen to what this man's got to say." He wasn't just interested in himself. He wanted everybody to get it. He wanted his whole house to get it. Hey, isn't that like getting saved? You want everybody to get a dose of it. Amen. I'm glad. I talked to somebody Saturday, and they talking about how God's dealing, God's working. I said, hallelujah and praise God and the Lamb. I'm glad, thank God. You ever really get right with God, you want to see other people get right with God. And you'll make a complete break with the world and get out. That's what he's saying to them. And get your family out. Get your family to go with you. Amen. And take them. And God will help you with that. And I praise him and thank him for it. And rejoice in it. And he said, don't take what. Let me give you one more while I'm thinking about it before I forget this. The harlot Rahab. And she was a harlot, but she got saved. And she hung that scarlet thread in her window. And she believed God. You know what she did? She went and got her mom and daddy. And she went and got her brother and sister. And she got everybody she could. And got them in with her. Because those spies said, "Now you get your family in here. And when we come in to take the land, we'll spare you and your family. Anybody that's under the sword that scarlet thread is, they'll be saved." That's a picture of the blood. Again, the blood. Hallelujah. And she went out there and she said, hey, they'd heard about the Israelites coming in. They'd heard about the God of Israel. And they was already afraid in Jericho. But God said, get your family in a certain place. And said, when we come in, we'll spare you. I'm glad, thank God, when they did come through, they were spared. They did get set free. And the same way today, they made a complete break away from. And they got in that house. They got in the same house, stayed in there. They didn't know when they were coming, but they knew they were coming. And I believe they looked out the window when they saw them marching around and said, whoopee, a deliverance is here and we're getting out of here and we're going to be all right because we're right with God. Amen. Amen. Not only that, but notice something else. And this may bother somebody, but anyway. Notice what it said in verse number 32. It said, take your herds, your flocks. And then verse 33, and the Egyptians were urging upon the people. They knew their firstborn had died. Boy, they got scared. They might send him out of the land in haste. For they said, we all be dead men. And the people took their, though they took that, before it was leavened, they took, though they had mixed up, and they took their needle and troughs, and being bound up in clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave them people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they sent them into such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They not only came out of Egypt, but they came out loaded down. Hallelujah. I like that. I don't know if it ever dawned on you or not, but as they got ready to leave, they were slaves down there, and all they had was clothes on their back and something to make bread in and some little what to eat. But the Egyptians urged them to get out. And God gave them such favor in them, they started giving them all their jewelry. They started giving them everything they had and raiment and said, take it and take it with you and go on. And God got them out of that. God always blesses you if we get out of Egypt, amen. When you get out of bondage and break a complete break with it, God will give you more than you had while you was in Egypt. Somebody said, I have to give up. You don't have to give up anything to get saved. You get when you get saved. You have more than you had before you got saved. Hey, while you're unsaved, you're out there wallowing in sin and think you're having a good time maybe for a little while. Hey, it's pleasure in sin for a season. But it's soon over. And then when you get out and you realize the fact you're saved and going to heaven, going to miss hell, you tell me you don't have more than you had when you was back there? Nonsense. And not only that, I want you to know it's better living for God than it is living for the devil, amen. Anyhow, the devil's a hard taskmaster. He'll take you further than you want to go. He'll cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. He'll tear you up. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus is not that way. He'll take you out there and may give you blessings. He'll make you want to raise your hand. He'll make you want to shout hallelujah. He'll make you want to say praise God. He'll make you want to say it's better now than it was then. And if it's not better now than it was then in your life, I dare say you missed something somewhere. Amen. Where's Brandy? Brandy, I know you're here. I saw you. Sunday school. Brandy. There she is. She's kind of like J.D. I can't really see her. I have to hunt for her. Amen. But she's back there. And I used her in Sunday school class. Might as well use her again. She don't mind. Amen. She got right with God. She got saved. Amen. But I remember kneeling right there at that front bench. Last Sunday night, it got so thick around here, I didn't know half where I was, much less where anybody else was. But somebody said, somebody where I need you. And I went over there, and there was Brandy, and she was in a mess. And praise God, you glad she's in a mess? I'm glad she got in a mess. I'm glad God messed up her playhouse. Amen. And God got in where she lived. And God got a hold of her. Here's what she said that stuck in my mind. She said, I'm tired of trying to live one foot in the world and one foot for God. I said, hallelujah. I'm glad you are. Amen. Because God can help you now. And we started talking about salvation, started talking about all that.
And she just gave her heart to Christ, asked God to save her, and made a complete break with the world, and got concerned about it. You know how I know she got saved? She got concerned. I don't know that in the heart. Only God knows that. But evidence, I'm a fruit inspector, and I saw some fruit out of her life. She just wanted somebody else to get saved, and she got concerned because she had influenced somebody else, and she wants to help them now. I say hallelujah. I'm glad. When you get saved, you're sorry for anybody you hurt, and you want to help those that you can help. Amen. Little Brim back there, that morning, she got saved last Sunday morning. And she said, I've sung, I've done all this, and I don't hurt anybody and all that stuff. But I said, I don't have any peace in my heart. And outwardly good. Hey, I don't care if you like that, living 1 foot. But she said, there's a torn, there's something there. I'm glad, praise God, you can sell it once and forever. I'm glad you don't have to live in a world that's up and down. And one day saved, one day lost. One day I don't have any peace, one day I may make it. You don't have to live like that. I used to live like that, but I found out, thank God, I didn't have to live like that. I found out that Jesus would save me and birth me in the family of God. I didn't have to live like that. I could live with assurance that Jesus was mine. One of my favorite songs right now is Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I knew about Jesus. I'd heard about Jesus. I knew how to play church. I knew what words to say. I knew how you're supposed to act. I knew what you're supposed to do. I married a preacher's daughter. I was tithing. That's pretty good right there. But I tried. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to do good. One Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. I was sitting about 3 or 4 pews back right in that area. God, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And I used to look around at everybody else in church. And I'd say, well, I'm doing about what they're doing. If they're going to heaven, I'm going. I talk about the same things they talk about. And I do things they do. And so I guess I'm all right. That Sunday morning, I quit looking at them, and God got a hold of me, and all I could see was me going to hell and me without Christ. I didn't have any real settled peace. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I can't live like this. If I'm saved, and that if, that gets in your way a lot of times. And finally, I just gave it up and said, Lord, I need Jesus. I need to get saved. And I got down, and God saved me by his marvelous grace. I'll never forget 2 or 3 days later, I was walking around the house. This is in the month of February. I was walking around the house, cold weather. My wife and I was renting a little house just out of Marion, Virginia, and had a stoker coal furnace in the basement of it. I was walking from the back door around to go in the basement and put some coal in that furnace. And as cold as it could be, but I was thinking, now, am I saved? And I just think about, now, at church, I asked God to save me. I gave my heart to Christ. Hey, something down deep inside of me rung a bell. Holy Ghost said, save, save, saved. I said, hallelujah. I went down there and threw coal everywhere. Amen. And said, praise God, let her burn. Had a good time. Hey, I'm glad I didn't have to stand there out there in the cold or get in the basement and keep on worrying about it. God, help me know. The witness of the Holy Spirit will witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And I know I'm saved because the Word of God says I am. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I want you to know, thank God there's a change made in me. It's different now. Amen. It's different now. And if it's not any different, it's different now. Amen, Randy. And praise God in the Lamb forever. I'm glad it's different now. Old Randy trying to get some folk to come to church, trying to get some people to some help. You know why? God doing something in his heart. I say praise God in the Lamb forever. I'm glad, thank God, it's different now than it was. Amen. Some folk come to church on Sunday morning. They play church. They come in. They know how to sing. They know how to what they're supposed to act like. But they don't know anything about the real saving grace of God. Get them out there on Monday, you know. They don't know anything about really living for God, really letting God have his way, really what sin is, being convicted of sin and wanting to live separate. And they don't know what it is, make a complete break with the world. But here, he said, take all you got. Take everything's God's anyway. You don't have anything. It's all God's. Everything is God's. And God gave you life. God let you live. God gave you everything you got. It's all God's. And God blesses those he loves, and God helps you. But make that complete break with the world. Amen, Brandy. A complete break with the world. You see, you can't run, you can't get in the same crowd. Now, I don't know what she did or didn't do. I'm not saying that. And there's some others here. I don't know what you did or didn't do. I see Michael sitting back there, and he's full of, that's the best I've seen him look in church, and I couldn't tell you how long. And I can't even see good. And I didn't see him smiling back there, and I hadn't seen that. I hadn't seen that on that face. But I didn't see God. Hallelujah. That's enough to make you want to run around a while too. Amen. I'm glad, praise God. It's not just children, young folk got saved, but some adults got saved. And see, when that happens, that person that you used to, and I don't know what Michael did, didn't do, don't know what Brandy did, didn't do, but I'm saying this, if that crowd that you was with, if they took drugs or if they did this or cussed or drank liquor or what, and may have done none of that, and it may have just been the fact you was out there lost without God, but I'm just saying this, people need to make a complete break. Now, whatever your problem was, you had a problem some kind, and there's something out there in the world that appealed to you, and whatever that is, you make a complete break with it. Amen. Break from it and get out of it. You can't run with the same crowd. You can't get with the same thing. It appeal to you, and you're getting a mess. Let me give you the third thing, and I'll close. If I can. Amen. I want you to look at chapter 13, verse 21, 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire and give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now I want to plug this in right here. Here's a departing, but it's a confident departing. It's not just departing, but a confident departing. They did depart. They departed completely. They left it in haste. They got away from it, hurried up, got out, made a complete break. But then they were confident about their break, because they did not know. Now listen to me. They did not know where they were going. They did not know what had happened for them between there and where they're supposed to go. They knew they're supposed to go to Canaan, but they didn't know what Canaan looked like. They had never seen it. They'd been in bondage 430 years down there in Egypt. And they didn't know. And they didn't know about the wilderness, exactly what it was like, and about crossing the Red Sea. They didn't understand all of that. But God said, I'll go before you in a pillar by day and a fire by night. And said, I'll show you the way to go. Hey, I'm glad, saved folk, you that just got saved, and people that need to get saved, you don't have to worry about, hey, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Meyer sang a song about calming that storm and giving that peace. I'm glad the storms may come, but God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. And when that's the truth, and it is the truth, then thank God. You don't have to understand what tomorrow holds. You just have to know who holds tomorrow. And live for God day by day in your life. You hear me well today. That you just got saved. Say, preacher, what I do now? Follow God. Follow God. Get in the Word of God. Let God guide you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and speak to you. Stay in church. Amen. Get in Sunday school and get in preaching and let God do something for you. Let him teach you the Word of God. Hear preaching. Faith come by hearing by the Word of God. And God chose the foolish to pray. Hey, we need that. And you'll learn that way, and God will help you. And God knew how to set it up. God knew what he's doing. He knew exactly what we needed. And so we come together like this. I challenge you that you just obey God and do what God says. Well, preacher, what I need to do now? Well, first thing you need to do is unite the church and get baptized. Those that got saved in the New Testament, I read about, every one of them got saved, got baptized, except that thief on the cross. And he nailed up there on the cross and he couldn't get baptized, but he got saved and went to paradise anyhow. Baptism does not save you, but it's a step in the right direction. You're saved, it's a step in the right direction, and just taking step by step by step by step and keep on going. You say, preacher, you planning on having a baptismal service? I sure am. Just as soon as God said to, we're going to baptize. Some already asked me about that. One did anyway. And Dana, we'll get you. Amen. hold her under. Brother Jonathan, hold me. She'll pay me to hold her under for a little while. I'm kidding, John. But Brandy, you make that complete break. You make that stand for God. You get baptized. You follow God, live for God, get in the Word, pray, let God help you, and live for God. It's a confident. I'm glad you can be confident about living for God now. You don't have to live your life in doubt. You don't have to live it in fear. You don't have to live it wondering what happened. Just live it confidently with God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to bow and pray, seek your face. And I pray today the Holy Spirit of God do a work in hearts. God, will you save the unsaved? Lord, I pray for those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and such conviction be so real that they can't stand it. They'll want to get right with God and do what's right. Then I pray, Lord, that you'd help those that have been saved to do what they need to do. We pray, God, in this invitation. It's your invitation, not mine, it's yours. I pray you have your way, magnify yourself, and do what needs to be done. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, please.